idea of individuals who are mature, both men and women, have a responsibility to teach the young men and to teach the young women. There's more to learn. It's more than just the facts of the Scripture. It's more than just that you've learned a little bit more about yourself. There's a maturity factor that you've got to grow into. A maturity factor that plays and continues to understand what you haven't obtained. You see, it's interesting to me that those who are wiser oftentimes will be more honest with what they don't know. Those who are more mature will be honest with what they haven't grown into. And it's not that they're sitting around worried about what everybody else is going to think. You see, sometimes as young individuals in the faith, we have this idea where I've got to put up this front and I've got to make sure I answer all these questions. So that's the way I get honor and prestige. Those who are mature say, I'm not trying to seek the honor and prestige of men. Look, I know there's things I don't know. I know I need to be better. You see, well, oftentimes what happens is the more an individual matures in the faith, the deeper their faith in Jesus becomes. Because they begin to realize all too well that without Jesus, they're nothing. I'm not downing those who are young in the faith. It's important. They've overcome the evil one. The Word of God is in them. But sometimes there's some growth that still needs to occur. That's why when you think about what is said in Ephesians chapter 4, on this particular subject, he not only says, I want you to grow to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He speaks to the church here and he says, I want you to grow to a mature man. In other words, you can't stay an infant. Being an infant is not horrible, but being an infant is not where God wants you to stay. You can't stay in the category of child. It's not that you don't know the Scriptures and you don't have zeal, but you can't stay in the category of child because the qualities of a child also open you up to be susceptible to false teachers. He says, though, but you can't stay as a young man or a young woman in the faith either because you're not done growing. There's something about this idea of continuing to grow and continuing to add to your faith. You see, that's what the Apostle Peter would write about. He's writing in 2 Peter chapter 1 to Christians who are undergoing suffering. Individuals that may have become stunted in their growth, and he calls them to voluntary growth again. You see, sometimes we believe, and I say we from a generic sense, we believe that Christianity and spiritual maturity is an involuntary process. That if I show up, I'll grow. If I hold my Bible, I'll grow. You know, if I look at my Bible, I'll grow. The reality is this, you can show up, hold up, look up all you want, but until you apply and lift the heavy weight of growing spiritually, you're not maturing. That's the difficult part about being a Christian. That's why people are stunted. It's because it's a false concept. It's the idea that as long as I show up at the gym, who cares if I ever lay down and bench press? Who cares if I ever get on the exercise bike? Who cares if I ever get on the treadmill? As long as I went to the gym, I worked out. And that's not true. In the same sense, Peter says this. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think for a moment of going to an orchestra performance. I don't know if you've ever been to an orchestra performance or a band concert. I know you probably have. I want you to think about this from the standpoint, if you paid a lot of money to go to a full orchestra performance and you walked out and you sat down and the curtain was closed, and as soon as the curtain opened, you saw one violin player sitting on the stage. You would think to yourself, well, this isn't a full orchestra. This is a solo performance. And you may find the beauty within the solo. And I'm sure that it would be beautiful. But now I want you to think about this. As that violin player is playing that song, I want you to think that another individual comes out, and maybe it's an individual that holds a cello. And all of a sudden, the cello starts playing along with the violin. I want you to think there's another instrument, maybe a woodwind, maybe a clarinet, maybe it was a saxophone, maybe it's a flute. And one by one, the orchestra comes together and playing the same song until at the very end of the song, the entire orchestra is there and it sounds much different than it did when just that solo violin player was on the stage. Now, the reason I ask you to think about that is because I want you to understand what this text is saying. What this text is saying is that God did not call you in your spiritual growth to have a solo violin performance. He didn't just say, you know what, we're going to start with your faith. And that we're just going to stop there. We're going to stop at faith. That's not what he said. When you look at this text and the way that it is written from a grammar perspective, it really is the idea of bringing into fullness the whole orchestra. You see, that's what God desires in the lives of those who are following Him. He wants that full orchestra, that full accompaniment being there in your spiritual growth concepts. And so some of us, when we reflect on that concept and we look at this list, and we say, you know what, I've got faith and I've got moral excellence, but my knowledge could increase, and maybe some of us stop there. You know, I've got a little bit of knowledge, but I struggle applying the knowledge that I have in my life, so I struggle with self-control, and we stop there. Perseverance, I quit praying for her a long time ago. I don't want perseverance, nor do I want patience. But then you've stopped growing. Godliness, behavior, that is showing God reverence and an akin with what God would want? Well, sometimes, but not all the time. And what we do is we go through this list and eventually we get to love. And you'll notice that love is put kind of as the pinnacle. It's because it's the word agape. See, oftentimes we think of love being the easiest one to add. And yet in this text, it puts love at the very end. And I firmly believe that's because to truly love the way that God has called you to love takes great spiritual maturity. How do you love the individual who's just bad-mouthed you? How do you love the individual who's cheated you out of money? I didn't say just grin and bear it. I said, how do you love them? How do you love the individual that you feel has wronged your child? How do you love the individual that you feel has wronged your spouse? How do you love the individual and wants nothing else than you not to be a part of that congregation? How do you love them? That's why it takes great spiritual maturity. And that's why it's listed at the end. You see, we've forgotten at times that the way that I love is a reflection of whether or not I'm mature or I'm young or I'm a child. And that's why I will tell you today that when you think about the Lord's church, a place to become, I want you to think about it from the standpoint of this growth process. That each of us are on that journey. We're in that process. And no, we're not all on the same point. That's why we must bear with one another. That's why we must have patience with one another. But I will tell you also this, that the Lord's church is central to your spiritual maturity. It absolutely is. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 is so crucial to the Lord's church. There are times in my life and in my ministry that if you were to ask me what is your main purpose as a minister, I would go back to this passage. There are other ministers, and I know they do the same thing, that if you were to ask them, what is the purpose of your ministry, they would look at Ephesians chapter 4, and they would point you to 11, 12, and 13. And they would say this, God gave some to be evangelists, and the purpose He gave some to be evangelists is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. He wanted the body of Christ to attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the fullness of Christ. So what's your purpose as an evangelist? My purpose is to help you understand this measuring cup that exists. And it's a measuring cup that has the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And then here's your measuring cup individually, mine included, individually. And we've got to continue to grow so that in as much as possible, what measures in this cup is equaled over here too. You see, that's the difficulty of the journey. That's the difficulty of the path, and that's why some people decide to go off. It's because being a Christian truly means you're growing. And as growing, I will simply tell you this, it also means that you understand where you fit in the overall grand scheme of God's plan. Children are interesting to me. I enjoy watching them. When I was in college, I had child psychology classes, and because I went in to also get a teaching certificate, I contemplated that for a while and thought it would be fun and decided real quick that that may not be the direction I wanted to go. But in my child psychology courses, I had the task to just simply watch children. And there was a young couple at the Tennessee Children's Home where we worked, and there was a young girl that was there, and I asked her parents, I said, I've got to observe a small child. Would you mind if I just observe your child for the day and make notations? And I might have a few tests that I need to do to see where they're at mentally, just so I can make notations. And they agreed to allow me to do so. What's interesting about a child is oftentimes a child can't see beyond the way the world impacts them. Children can't see beyond the idea of somebody stole my toy. If you try to get them to understand deeper concepts like poverty, like doing without, like even shame for behavior that is wrong, oftentimes children are not spiritually mature, but as they mature, they should begin to understand these things. That's why even in educational concepts, even here and within our congregation, there's a reason we teach our younger children at the areas that we do and in the way that we do. And there's a reason we teach our middle school and high schoolers the way that they do, because their cognitive comprehension is different. At least it should be. You know, it's the same way in the Lord's church. When you start talking about growing spiritually, it's not just so that you can become more what God would have you to be. It's so that you understand where you fit in the overall grand scheme of God's plan. Because where you fit is this. You're a seed sower. That's what you are. You're a seed sower. The seed is the Word of God. The sowing is done in the world. It's done in your everyday life. It's done in your communities. It's done within your families. But that's what God has called you to be, as a seed sower. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. He told you how to make disciples. He said, baptizing them and teaching them. That's where you fit. That's where I fit. But you see, if we're not spiritually mature, then oftentimes we only see ourselves fitting in the church for what we get out of the church. The spiritually mature understands that it's not what you get out of the church, it's what you bring to our Heavenly Father. Are you an active part of His overall plan? That's a deeper spiritual concept, but one that He definitely intends for you and I to grow into. So today, as you consider this idea of the Lord's church, a place to become, I want you to think about that in your own spiritual growth. I want you to think about it from the standpoint, have you stalled in your growth? Are you actively seeking to grow? Are you adding to your faith? Are you adding to your knowledge? Are you adding to your self-control? Are you adding to your perseverance? Or have you simply stopped along the way and has your growth become stunted? If it has, it's time to reengage. It's time to get back on the horse. It's time to understand that simply showing up doesn't equal growing up. And you and I have got to engage in the discipleship concept. So this morning, if you need to reengage, maybe you can do so from the pew there where you'll stand. But chances are maybe somebody needs the prayers of the church. They may even need to reengage publicly because they've been gone so long. Maybe that's where you are today. I don't know, but it would be so sad to know that's the case and then to push it away and not get right with God. Today, if you've never become a Christian, I want to encourage you to do so. The Lord's church is a place to become also a child of God. It doesn't have to take place in a worship assembly, but the idea is this, that when you obey the gospel, you're added to the body of Christ. You're a part of the church. And so the church upholding the truth is naturally going to have individuals that want to know, how do I get into a relationship with this Jesus that I've been reading about? And the answer, quite simply, is you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the remission of your sins. When you do, you'll be raised to walk a new life, added to the kingdom because God added you. Today, if you've never obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to do that as well. I encourage you to continue to grow. One of the most difficult things about being a Christian is understanding your weaknesses. One of the most difficult things about being a Christian is understanding what you are not, because you're continually disappointed, as am I, in the areas that we fall short in. Today's a day to make your life right with God. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, I encourage you, don't put it off. Don't treat the invitation song just like another invitation. If you need to come forward, we invite you to do so as together we stand and as we sing.